Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here with you again this morning. And yes, we did take a trip to Mexico and we had a great time. The sun was shining the whole 5 days we were there and in the 80s, and it was wonderful to be on the beach or around the pool, even if I had to share it with my in-laws. No. I love my in-laws, and we get along great, and we do a lot of traveling together, so it wasn't a problem at all. But it's good to be back. The vacation came at a good time in our lives, and so it's good to be here this morning and to bring God's word to you at this time. One of the nice things about doing what I do as a lay speaker is call it cheating or whatever you want to call it, but because I speak in so many different churches, I get to recycle messages. And the message that I had selected for today, even before we left on vacation, is even more appropriate in our lives right now. And that'll become evident. But I switch them up a little bit. I bring them up to date anyway. But it is nice that if a church calls me at the last minute, that I actually have a whole year's worth of messages that I can pull out at any given time. So, but our scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. It says, "Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me. I know that the power has gone out from me.' Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.' While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. 'Your daughter is dead,' he said. 'Don't bother the teacher anymore.' And hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, 'Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed.' When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. 'Stop wailing,' Jesus said. 'She is not dead, but asleep.' They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but he took her by the hand and said, 'My child, get up.' Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up, and then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened." Father God, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to share in God's word. Father, be with me as I bring your word, as I bring these words to you today, just as all the words and the songs have meaning. Let these words today have meaning for each and every one of us gathered here today, that our faith is all we need. If we just believe, we can be healed. In your name we pray. Amen. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. 'What am I bidding, good folks?' he cried. 'Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two? Only two? $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. but no one from the room far back. But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going, gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of a master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. By Myra Brooks Welch. It's hard to believe that a touch could make such a difference in the value of something such as a violin. Sue Ann and I, once in a while, when there's not anything else on TV, will turn over and watch Pawn Stars. Can you imagine if someone brought one in that had been played by Itzhak Perlman, who since 1958 has been in the public eye after appearing on the Ed Sullivan Show, and also played for Queen Elizabeth II, or maybe a violin played by Antonio Vivaldi, who passed away in 1741. He was an Italian composer and a violinist who helped shape classical music. Or maybe a violin played by George Augustus Polgreen Bridgetower, who lived between 1770 and 1860. You get the picture. But if I was to touch a violin myself, it would probably lose value. But being touched by the master. About a year ago, I bought a different truck. Now, I said a different truck, not a brand new truck, because Jim can probably tell you how much one of those new trucks is going to cost me. And my tax lady, she says, "Jeff, you made a lot more money this last year." Yes, I did, but I didn't make that much. But this truck, as well as Sue Ann's car, has a lot of things on it that we're not accustomed to, such as when you touch the door handle, the door unlocks. Touch the little black button in the middle of the handle and the doors lock. Or when I get in, I just touch a button and the car starts. Touch it again and it shuts off. I can touch the little 9-inch screen in the middle of the dash and I can control the radio, the climate controls. I can pull up GPS and it'll get me anywhere that I want to go. Might not always be the best roads, but it's going to get me there eventually. All of this, just by touching. I'm sure a lot of you have similar vehicles as well. My computer has a touch screen. I don't even have to use a mouse or a mouse pad to navigate around in my computer. Our cell phones, all we have to do is touch them. And we can call people, we can pull up radio stations. I listened while we were watching Password, I think it was, the other night. I touched my phone and pulled up the Rock Ridge Mercer County basketball game just by touching in a few places. There's so much power in touch. We all have what's called touch receptors and neurons that are just below the surface of our skin. And they're basic units of our nervous system that send electronic signals to other neurons within the body. A lot like a chain of text messages. You know, when you start texting somebody, they always think they have to text you back, and then you always think you have to text them back. It just keeps going back and forth until finally somebody's like, okay, that's it. I'm not responding anymore. But we all have these touch receptors. They keep our bodies from harm by letting us know what's going on around us physically. You have many different kinds of these touch receptors working just beneath the surface of your skin as well. Every one of these nerves, however, features these specialized endings that is designed to detect and to respond to different feelings and different types of physical stimulation. When your touch receptors are activated, they generate something called action potential, an electrical signal that travels from the receptor to your brain. The first stop in the signal's journey is the brainstem, which connects to the spinal cord and then to some word. Anyway, I'm starting to sound like a scientist, which I am not. You can find anything you want to find just by touching your phone and going to Google, and it'll tell you anything that you want to know. But let's be honest. These past 3 years, 4 years, they've not invited a lot of touch. We've been quarantined at home. We've been isolated from friends. Many of people have felt the lack of connection, both emotionally as well as physically. Hugs and handshaking happen much less frequently, and although the world is slowly returning to normal as we're going to be probably, there's all these other strains coming up that is probably going to affect our touching, our hugging, for quite some time. Even as we age, touch remains a critical component of our social and our emotional growth. One study found that students seem to be 3 times as likely to speak up in class after the teacher pats them in a friendly manner. The release of this hormone called oxytocin is another benefit of physical touch. And oxytocin helps humans form emotional connection to one another, and it creates these sensations. Human touch can inspire positive thinking and expand trust, reduces social anxiety and stress. It boosts our immune system and, believe it or not, can lower blood pressure. Sue Ann grew up in a family who freely gave hugs and wasn't afraid of that human touch element. Well, my family, not so much. My parents loved us, but we didn't have a lot of the hugging and touching in our house. And still today, after almost 38 years of marriage, she still wishes that I was a little bit more touchy, or that I would initiate the hugs or the hand-holding from time to time. There is so much power in touch. Think about babies. We see pictures on Facebook and wherever of newborn babies, and they're placed on the mother's bare skin to bare skin, or now even the fathers. You see pictures in the hospital of fathers. That human touch, that compassionate, that warm feeling is so important. In our reading today, we find Jesus in this large crowd trying to make his way to Jairus' house. Jairus was this great leader in the synagogue, and people were pushing their way to the front of the line just to see him. Now, if you've ever been to the Mississippi Valley Fair to some of their concerts, you'll understand this picture that I have in my mind. The people down there on the track at the concerts, they're just pushing their way forward. We've got people on shoulders just pushing and pushing and pushing to try to get as close as they can be. This past week in Mexico, we took a catamaran ride over to this other private island. And about, I don't know, 500 feet inland. We go into this little town, and there is just shop after shop after shop. I mean, I'm talking probably 20 blocks long and 3 or 4 streets wide of these little shops, and these shop owners trying to get everybody to come into their shop and buy their goods. It's just shoulder to shoulder. None of us could wait to get out of that crowd. It was very uncomfortable for some of us. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. In spite of all this pushing and shoving and being shoulder to shoulder, "Who touched me?" Jesus could feel this power escape from him as someone touched his cloak. This woman who had been bleeding, as we read, for 12 years, thought that if she could just touch Jesus' cloak, that she would be healed. So she pushed, and she pushed her way to the front and was immediately healed as soon as she touched his cloak. And Jesus' neurons must have been working overtime to have felt all this power escape from his whole being. It isn't that Jesus didn't already know who touched him. It's that he wanted this woman to step forward and to identify herself. Jesus wanted to teach her that his cloak did not contain any magical powers, but that her faith in him had healed her. He may have also wanted to teach the crowds a lesson, because in Jewish tradition, any man who touched or was touched by an unclean woman was considered to be ceremonially unclean as well. So to protect themselves from such defilement, they would avoid touching or even looking at women who were unclean. And by contrast, Jesus proclaimed to hundreds of people that this unclean woman had touched him, and then he healed her. And in Jesus' mind, this suffering woman was not to be overlooked, because she is part of God's creation, and she deserves our respect. She deserves our attention. And then we continue in our reading. As Jesus made his way to Jairus' house to heal this daughter, which is where he was going in the first place. And someone else spoke up from Jairus' house and told Jairus that his daughter was already dead, and that there wasn't any need for Jesus to come. And Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." Jesus, even though, you know, he says we just have to believe, but he continued into the house with Peter and John and James and the parents, told them that she was just sleeping, and then he instructed her to get up. And she did. Jesus told the parents not to talk about their daughter's healing, because he knew that the facts would speak for themselves. And besides, Jesus was concerned for his ministry. He didn't want people, he didn't want to be known as a miracle worker. He wanted people to listen to his words, and his words would heal their broken spiritual lives. You see, just as I believe that when I touch the door handle, that it's going to unlock, and it better, because I still haven't found where I can put a key in and unlock that door on, you know, the old manual way. And just as I believe that when I touch that button, the car is going to start, because again, I don't know where the ignition is to put a key in and to start that truck. So we have to believe that our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior can heal us spiritually, can heal us emotionally, and can heal us physically. We have to believe that the touch of the Master's hand is powerful enough to overcome all evil. We have to believe that the touch of the Master's hand will release this oxytocin hormone that will overcome all the things that are in the way of us fully experiencing the grace and the mercy that God extends to each and every one of us. Bill Gaither's song, "He Touched Me," came very late one night. Bill and two other guys had been invited to come down and do music at a revival meeting in Indiana. And after the meeting, as the three of them rode back to Bill's home, they discussed how deeply they had felt the Spirit at that meeting. Dr. Oldham dropped Bill off at his home, and as he was leaving, his parting words were, "You should write a song that says, 'He touched me. Oh, he touched me.'" So Gaither completed the song, working throughout the night, and revised it the next morning with Gloria. And Doug Oldham first recorded the song in 1964, followed quickly by the Gaither Trio and other artists such as the Imperials in 65, Elvis Presley in 72, Tennessee Ernie Ford in 77, and then most recently by Stephen Curtis Chapman. The strength of this song lies in its combination of the personal witness and the biblical narrative. On the one hand, the song is a first-person account of an encounter that Jesus, who transformed the singer's life, stained with guilt and shame, cleansed and made whole. While the stanzas describe the encounter, it's the refrain that communicates the ecstasy of the moment. "Oh, the joy that floods my soul." And I'm going to sing it for you if I can get it to come up. So I realized that, what's it been, 3 weeks ago I was here? My message was about having faith. Today, my message is about having faith. You asked me if I could come back in April. And you asked me about my back surgery. The back surgery has been postponed because this past week, on Monday, we got home from Mexico Sunday night at 11 o'clock at night. And on Monday morning at 7 o'clock, I had to go in for a PET scan. And they have found a mass on my right lung. And I have no idea. I go Wednesday to get more information, but I have to believe. I've told my family that we are confident, and we have to believe that it was found because of all the pre-op testing I had to do for the back surgery. But we have to believe that God is capable of healing whatever it is, whatever struggle you have going on in your life, whatever ailment, whatever concern that you have going on. We have to believe that if we can just give it up to God, that he's capable of doing mighty things. We have to believe that he's the almighty physician, and that he will put the best help in front of all of us. Again, no matter what your struggle is, we all have struggles. If you don't, praise God. But we all some days have things that we don't know how we're going to get through. And we have to believe. We have to have faith. First time I heard this song, I had gone to some type of revival meeting with my Uncle Ralph and my dad, and Bill Mann, I believe, is who was singing it that time. I'll go back to the beginning. You didn't know you were going to get a soloist today, did you? Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
I have to believe that I remembered the words to that song because they did not come up on the phone. But we have to believe that if we just let God's hand touch us, that we just let God carry us, we have to believe that no matter the outcome, that He's going to be there, He's going to be with us in all of our struggles and in all of our joys as well. And He's going to celebrate with us. Amen.